This episode is brought to you by Bleacher Report. How do you follow sports? From college football to the NBA, Bleacher Report brings you the latest news, live scores, and epic highlights from your favorite leagues, teams, and athletes, all in one app. Dive into exclusive shows hosted by your favorite athletes and original Bleacher Report series with breaking news, rumors, and predictions all season long. Download Bleacher Report to personalize your coverage.
We're bringing everything we got to this game.
Intercepted, Kirby Joseph. Purdy airmailed it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're going out to play and win this game.
Intercepted by the Lions. Picked up by Kirby Joseph. That is a huge play by that Lions defense.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs breaks it for 30.
Earlier on the show, Bucks running back Bucky Irving. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. In case you are just joining us, I am sitting here in the glorious, beautiful state of Utah, hanging out with the family for New Year's Eve tonight. Hopefully, you are getting set for your big New Year's Eve plan. Penn State and Boise State playing for our viewing pleasure as the quarterfinal round of the college football playoffs begin tonight. Three more games tomorrow, including the centerpiece, the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl between Oregon and The Ohio State University. We talked about that in hour number one with Bucky Irving, the running back from Oregon of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In hour number two, which we are currently in right now on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic in his usual midweek spot to talk about college football. Michigan, the Wolverines are up on Alabama 16-0 in the ReliaQuest Bowl. You may not be somewhat interested in that, but I sure am. And we'll be having updates throughout the entire show. And what's the name of the show, guys? I'm sorry to say that. What's the name of the show?
Mike, I think Mike has that.
Okay, you're very nuts. All right, don't worry about it. But the guys are in Los Angeles there. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Anytime you want to hit the drop, it's fine.
We've got
Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson. Good to see you guys. How are you? Good to see you.
What's up, brother? What's up?
I'm just I'm literally chilling. It's like 15 degrees out here.
An actual fact.
It is chilling.
It's the Rich Eisen Show, just for anyone who didn't pick
Mike,
up.
Do you not know where this drop is?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Seriously? 2 minutes later.
Oh, my God.
No, he thought we were going to do the Jerry Jones sound bites. He had the squirrel thing all around.
Delicious.
Oh my God. Jerry has spoken about Jerry has spoken about the future of Mike McCarthy in his usual Tuesday spot. We'll get to that later on. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. There's the draft order I want to hit as Brockman's Patriots are currently sitting in the number one on the clock spot going into the final game of the regular season. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We started the show talking about the Monday night game, the Lions' point of view. They are the team that's got 14 wins. They are the team that has a home date with the Vikings, and whoever wins that is the one seed in the NFC and the champs of the NFC North, and whoever loses that has to go on the road, most likely to face Bucky Irving's Buccaneers in the first round on the road in Tampa. Let's now turn our attention to the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll just say this storyline is perfect, microcosm of the 2024 San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy throwing for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns with some mistakes in the middle of all that, and the offense humming. And getting some missed kicks from their kicker. And Jake Moody, my guy from the University of Michigan, is definitely putting himself in danger. I'll just be straight up about that. Yep. And then the defense not coming through on occasion, despite having the pass rush, despite having Fred Warner. But it's the injury front that we are left talking about at the very end of the day. And that has been the story of the San Francisco 49ers season. From the Friday before the season Monday kickoff against the New York Jets. Remember that way back in the day when the Jets were feeling so good about themselves because Aaron Rodgers was back healthy and the San Francisco 49ers just got through the whole business of signing Brandon Ayuk to his contract and getting Trent Williams happy with his contract and finally getting all that together and having Ayuk and Debo and potentially their final season together, and Christian McCaffrey saying these calf injuries that have kept me out of preseason action, no big deal. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, McCaffrey's not starting on the Monday night. Wait a minute, McCaffrey's on injured reserve. Wait a minute, it's not just one Achilles that's aching him, it's both. And here we are now with the San Francisco 49ers sitting at 6-10, wondering if Brock Purdy hurt his throwing elbow in the same way that he hurt it in the NFC Championship game years ago that required UCL surgery. Now, he said after the game that his arm was tested for all that, and you'll hear that in a second, and that that's not an issue, but I'm waiting with bated breath right here because that kid is about to go try and hit it in the contractual front, and if he goes and enters that part of his world hurt, I don't know what the hell that means for this team and his arm and his this franchise and his career. But this is what Brock Purdy had to say after the game, after the final interception knocked him out, because he said his arm was on fire.
On that sack, I got hit on the backside, and yeah, basically just my arm was on fire kind of thing. And so I tried throwing a couple on the sideline, and I couldn't at that point. So yeah, has nothing to do with tapping out of a game or anything like that. I love my teammates, and I'll go to the very end for them and this fan base and everybody. So that's what hurts me is like I couldn't finish the game. But again, we'll see tomorrow.
With your arms on fire, is that similar pain to what you had in Philly?
A little bit, but we did some tests with like UCL stuff, and I'm good in that regard. But we just got to go get imaging on it tomorrow and see the whole thing. So.
It is just, again, the microcosm of the season. First half, he's got a perfect passer rating. He winds up with both halves. It's the first game of all year with 300 or more passing yards and three or more passing touchdowns. And as a matter of fact, with Goff doing the same thing, it's only the second time this year we've seen two quarterbacks in the same game do it. The other one was Lamar and Joe Burrow on that Thursday night crazy overtime game. And Purdy's playing at his best. Ricky Pearsall's having his best career game, 141 yards with a score. George Kittle's doing George Kittle things. By the way, congrats to one of our favorites. He's the third player and only tight end in San Francisco history to now have four or more seasons with 1,000 or more receiving yards. The others are named Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens, and they, like he should be, are Hall of Famers. So that's working for him. The running scheme, you know, this kid Garendo looked just like, you know, Jordan Mason, who looked just like McCaffrey at times. And McCaffrey is obviously plus up. He always pluses up that running attack and rushing game. But when it all comes down to it, that second half was the microcosm of the season where things just begin to go wrong. Offensively, they just get on the wrong page at the wrong time. And then an injury comes home to roost. And then the whole thing turns to crap. And then the kicker misses some kicks. And then there's always that sideline shot of Kyle Shanahan just looking half angry and half confused as to what the hell's happening out there. And it just turns into a lost season for the 49ers. And the only question is this possibly going to be a lost offseason for Brock Purdy? His arm's on fire? When you hear that, you know, I'm hoping it's just one of those moments where he's hit in the wrong way and his arm goes dead for just the night and he feels fine the next day. But we're going to see whatever the hell the imaging says. And when you're coming off of that UCL surgery and that injury and you start hearing about, hey, you know, everything seems to be fine with the UCL, but my arm's on fire. You're sitting here going, what the hell is that all about? That'll be the last thing the Niners need is all of those injuries and all of the question marks that the injuries caused and all of the ups and the downs that cause a lot of the other confusion from the fan base to what the hell's going on. If that bleeds into the offseason with their quarterback, holy cow. I don't even know what that would mean. So I'm just hoping that this is maybe alarmist and that Purdy is going to be fine. And that's just, you know, we'll see him in that week 18 finale for the Niners, who will go into the offseason either 6-11 or 7-10 and just chalk it up to those were just a lot of the injuries and a lot of the offseason madness that potentially caused some of these things to to roost, you know, with Ricky Pearsall getting shot. I mean, this has just been a wild season for the 49ers that will lead to a new NFC champ. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You're right.
You know, so, all right, you ready? It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. You ready to hit it? Go ahead, hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
See, I didn't step on it. Very proud of myself.
Good job.
What do you got over there, Chris?
Hey, happy Tuesday. Everybody good? Mike, you good?
What's up?
I'm good.
Mike, pay attention. Hit the drops. Guys, we watched it last night. The Lions dominate. Remind me a lot of the 17 Patriots, Rich, where dynamic offense, can't stop anyone on defense, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl, ultimately losing. But I'm going to say the winner of Monday's Lions-Vikings game is going to win the Super Bowl. Week 18, Lions-Vikings winner wins the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Wow. It's Chris. I'm sorry. I'll just go overreaction on that one. I'll do that just because the Eagles are sitting out there. Did you say we'll go to the Super Bowl from the NFC?
No, they're going to win the whole thing.
Champion. Well, I'll tell you this.
Carry that momentum into the bye and then through the NFC and all the way to New Orleans, confetti.
Since you were talking about the Lions and reminding yourself of a New England Super Bowl team, I will say this, this stat I didn't mention at the top of the show when I talked about how the Lions are the only undefeated road team in the NFL this year. They're just the third team in the last 10 seasons to be undefeated on the road. The last team to do it were the 2020 Chiefs, who, as we all know, made the Super Bowl but lost it. And then the 2016 Patriots, who made the Super Bowl and won it, although they were down 28-3 at one point of that game. Yeah. So it's not a guarantee that you win the Super Bowl, but in the last 10 years, it has been an earmark of making the Super Bowl. So I'm talking out my answer here right now. But to sit here and say the winner of this game wins the Super Bowl, like this is a de facto Super Bowl, it's too soon, too early, too many other great teams looking as great as they do. Bills, Ravens,
sure, of course,
Chiefs, Eagles, Rams performing as well as they've been performing. I can't sit here and say somebody's not going to get hot and surprised. So I'll call that an overreaction.
All right. No doubt. How about this one? Just throwing this out there. Playoffs coming. A lot of divisions are going to have two playoff teams. At least two divisions that have two playoff teams in it are going to go winless. You follow?
So you're saying, let's say the AFC North already has two playoff teams in it.
Right.
You say both the Ravens and Steelers get one and done.
Correct.
The NFC East has two playoff teams in it. You say the Eagles and Commanders get one and
correct.
Done.
Correct. At least two of those divisions. It's going to happen at least twice.
At least twice. No, bro. That's
Chiefs,
too much.
Chargers.
That's too much. Come on, dude. That
weird
is
things happen. It's been a weird season.
You are way out there with that one.
It's been a weird
certainly
season.
Certainly, what if the Commanders and Eagles play each other? That blows it straight to hell. No, I know. Well, TJ, right?
Throwing it out there.
That's
kind of
out
there, but I don't know. You never know.
That's one of the few overreaction Monday subject matters that make me want to have you pee in a cup. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
that's how out there that one is. But
all right, how about this one then?
Let's not do that. Okay.
How about this one? Based on, that's a good point.
Noted. If we had an HR, we would note that.
That's hilarious.
He is HR.
I am HR.
DJ just plussed up this segment.
No, very good. No Pete Tester.
DJ plus.
Based on the success of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, someone should acquire Zach Wilson this offseason and give him a shot to start next year.
I like it, Chris. That's not an overreaction. Look at you. Okay. All right. Why not, right?
Why not?
I mean, look at these guys. And hold on a minute. With the Geno isn't in that category, but Baker and Sam Darnold are in the category of, well, Baker had a quick sabbatical with Sean McVay, and Sam Darnold had a full year with Kyle Shanahan. And these are some quarterback-friendly coaches who just merely being around them and their system and their staffs and their quarterback rooms will leave a residue from which you can succeed in a new spot, right? Like all of that. Zach Wilson's just spent a year with Sean Payton.
Exactly.
So there's that, dude. Yeah. And he's, what is he? Is he still old enough to shave? I don't even know.
I don't know if he can rent a car. So, oh, he can. He's 25.
There you go. I mean, that's not a bad spot. Maybe the Jets should take him back. What do you think?
I think that would be hilarious.
I don't know. Worked out for Darnold. Look at him now, right?
Yeah, but he didn't go back to the Jets.
How about this one? The Giants should take him.
Now we're talking.
The Giants should take him. The Giants should take him. You know, and he's like Daniel Jones plus, right? He's right. Jones plus because he can run it and throw it. He's not as tall, you know. But listen, I'm facetious with the New York teams, but I don't think that's an overreaction.
I think someone should give him a shot. I think he still has some good football left. All right, how about this one?
What else?
We were just talking about the Niners, Rich. And this is one of my favorite topics on this show. Scott Van Pelt has my back on this. Another Brock Purdy injury should scare the Niners enough to hold off giving him a massive extension.
We just kind of talked about it, didn't we? I mean, you know, again, we need to see what the imaging comes back on this Tuesday, because this is potentially alarmist. There were, I'll just, again, because I'm scarred by all of these experiences. Do you remember when Mike White was the hope for the New York Jets? Do you remember that?
And well, TJ Zach didn't let you forget about it.
I tried.
Right, exactly.
Had you listened and to me, you'd be a playoff team.
That was the last time it was Cooper Rush season as well, and you thought me talking up Cooper Rush actually meant I was trying to troll you that he was going to take the job from Dak, even though I never twitched in that direction.
Yeah,
you took it to mean that I was saying that. No, I never did that.
We can read
never,
you, bro.
Never. No, but you remember Mike White, there was a game, I think it was against, I forget who it was, but there was a game where the Jets really could use him, and they could actually start to win, and we'll see how he could do, and you needed to at least evaluate him, and he got hit in his arm, and his arm went dead,
and
he couldn't play. I think it was against the Colts or something like that.
Yeah.
Right, maybe this, I bring that up, like maybe this is just one of those things, because Mike White, you know, played the next week and had no surgery, had no issues. Maybe this is one of those things, but if he's hurt, if this kid is hurt, now you real, I don't know, man. But because the players love him, and you could see he operates in the system pretty damn well. And now he's had two full seasons in it. It makes sense to keep him, sign him. I just don't know what that thing is going to look like. That contract, it's, you know, if I'm him and I'm healthy, I'm saying it starts with Tua and it goes up. Or say you could say it starts with Dak and goes up. I don't know if that's going to fly, but we'll see.
If you're the Niners, would you rather pay Sam Darnold $40 million a year or Brock Purdy $60 million? Like, that's what it comes down to.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Certainly, if you want to bring Darnold back to the system that, you know, he apparently became an apprentice under, you know, and then went to Minnesota with that as an underpinning from San Francisco, that makes sense. I'm not saying the concept of this is an overreaction. I'm saying just merely bringing it up now before we know the full extent of his injury, that is an overreaction. That will be my answer to this one.
I got
what you. Else you got?
Something to watch. All right, two more. Rich, every year, as we know, we're talking about the coaching carousel, the hot seat, Black Monday. There will be a coach of a team around 500 that gets fired this year.
Yeah, I don't think that's an overreaction either. There always is one of them.
There's
I don't
always
know
one or two.
Be. Who would it be, though? Who would it be?
Look, I mean, I'm looking at Miami, like, Cincinnati, give me Indianapolis.
No, it's not Miami. You keep bringing up Mike McDaniel.
Arizona.
No, they love him. I just had a great chat with them.
Okay.
They think they're in the right direction, and they doubled up their win total from last year.
Rich, 80-year-old owners don't care about money when they're super rich.
I spoke to the actual owner, Michael Bidwell. He is not 80. I can confirm that.
Well, I was talking about Miami.
Oh, okay. Stephen Ross is not firing Mike McDaniel. It's just not happening. I don't think it's an overreaction. I just don't have the name here. I'm just going through my head right now of somebody that you just don't see coming. Could it be Shane Steichen? Could it be him?
Maybe. We kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday.
We didn't touch on that. Yeah, because, you know, Pat is talking about a lot of internal laundry. And that is, if there's internal laundry, the last guy you want airing it is Pat McAfee.
Correct.
I'll tell you that.
Correct.
You know, certainly since, you know, if there's anybody who speaks a lot of truth, it's him. So I'm not pushing back on whether Pat is accurate or not. He knows what's going on in the building. And that's the only reason why I mentioned Shane. I have no other sense.
I know there's always a surprise. We didn't see Pete Carroll coming last year. There's always a surprise.
You got one more?
All right, last one. College football playoff tonight, tomorrow. We're going to talk with Bruce here coming up. The playoff quarterfinals will not be all chalk.
I agree.
There's going to be an upset or two.
Is it an upset for Ohio State to beat Oregon? Is it? Isn't Ohio State technically even favored to win that game right
now? Yeah, Ohio State's technically favored, but.
So you're saying, is it an upset for Arizona State to lose?
No, Arizona State is a massive underdog.
Okay,
Arizona State wins. Notre Dame wins. Boise. I'm saying somebody's.
You know,
win.
Notre Dame can win that game. Is Sarah nervous or what? Is she nervous?
Of course. I mean, technically, they're an underdog. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. And I think a nice, neat fix would be to tell some of these bowl sites, listen, I know you're used to having college football semifinals or finals, but not this year. And you've got to give the bye week teams a home game also. This game, yeah, I think you got to start thinking about that.
Oh, interesting.
And if this is a correct assumption, if this is not an overreaction, I don't think it is, you're going to hear that conversation quite a bit. You know, Oregon should have Ohio State come to them for a second straight time. Instead, they're going down, you know, to Pasadena, and it is a quicker flight for the Oregon faithful to come from, you know, from campus. I always like front loading conversations, and I think that would be the conversation if this thing hits, and I think it will. Excellent overreaction Fun. Monday on a Tuesday, sir. Fun stuff. The Overreaction Monday podcast with Chris and I that we recorded before yesterday's show is still sitting out there, and it is as fresh as ever. Please get that wherever you get your podcasts. And later on today, right from this very spot, Susie Schuster will be conducting What the Football with Amy Trask in advance of New Year's Eve. They might be drinking. Not going to lie. Certainly since Susie's on vacation. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to take your phone calls. Boots Feldman. We come back talking college football with our friend from Fox Sports and The Athletic.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. We can help you save on the right oil for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Castrol Edge Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $35.99. Visit one of our 6,000 stores or order from AutoZone.com for same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says weird. It is ruined my proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this. I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bruce Feldman's going to join us shortly. Coop, you want to give an update?
Uh-oh.
Come on over here. Hurry up, Coop.
Stand by.
Hold on. Give the drop. Cooper Eisen with an update on the Reliant question. Hold on a second.
Breaking
Cooper
news.
Couldn't hear the drop. The drop is over. Come on in, Coop.
There you go.
What's the update?
So currently it is 16-7. Alabama scored a touchdown. It was a passing touchdown, I believe, 20 yards to the tight end. I think his name was Utes.
Ooch!
Michigan gets the ball.
Hold on a second. Is it spelled U T Z like the potato chip?
I think it's spelled O U T Z E.
O U T Z E. That's as out.
No. O U Z T S.
O U Z T S.
Yeah.
So was it an outs route? Come on, give it up.
Come on.
Michigan has come on, I'm making a dad joke. My son's right here. Give me a break.
Yeah.
So, wow. so
Michigan has the ball.
You got to lean in. What is it?
Michigan has the ball at the, I believe, 45, and it's
talking to the
first
mic.
Down.
First down. Okay. 16-7, everybody.
The 2 minute warning. 2 minute warning.
They call it the 2 minute timeout in college football. Yeah. So precious. They are so precious about it. All right, Coop. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cooper Rising. Coop. Well, I'm not allowed to make a dad joke. I'm the actual dad. And
that was
in that
a good joke, to be honest with you.
An outs route?
Yeah.
Is that how you spell his name? Outs?
I have no idea.
No, you.
Nobody knows. Okay. Nobody knows.
Okay, very good. Oh, my God. This is what happens when you do a show and your team's playing in the Reliant Quest Bowl. Yeah, bro.
Rich, it's gotta got to be tough. It's got to be tough for you watching.
It's all right. No, this right now, Mike, this is as gravy as it gets. Honestly, this is gravy. This is the cherry on top. I don't even know what the food analogy is. You know what I mean?
Sprinkles?
This is how so freaking great it is. I love it. I truly love it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman has texted me saying that he's going to be coming on. He needs a minute.
Oh.
We got 2 minutes left in this this first half of the Relia Quest.
Rich, I love the fact that Grainger was able to ship a desk to you could do the report.
Impressive.
That's impressive to me, man. Grainger don't play.
Yeah. They're great partners. They're outstanding partners.
Shout out to Grainger.
Yeah.
I had Roku Joe texting me earlier. You know, it's Grainger and Roku.
Where are you watching the Fiesta Bowl tonight, TJ? This is your team. Isn't it one of your 20 teams, right?
Yeah, 20. I mean, no need to be disrespectful. First of all, I'm going to an exclusive party tonight, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I'll be watching.
For New Year's Eve and everything?
An exclusive party tonight.
In the barn?
No. More exclusive than that. It's going to be... let's put it this way. It's limited to one person. That's the extent of the party. It's going to be me on Club Couch.
TJ.
Watching
TJ.
This game.
Club Couch.
Club Couch.
Are you
man.
In the VIP there? TJ.
I got my buddies at the door. They're, you know.
Club Couch.
Got the velvet rope.
That's hilarious.
TJ, you're hanging out solo tonight for New Year's Eve?
As far as I know.
What do you mean? Why aren't you going? Why aren't you hanging with Ashton?
I don't even know where he's at.
What do you mean? 1.5 men? Let's go.
1.5 men.
No. Okay.
Rich.
All right. Very good. Now we've got that down. Joining us right here from Fox Sports and The Athletic, our friend back here in his usual spot, although on Tuesday, because Wednesday's a big, huge college football day. Bruce Feldman. Good to chat with you, Bruce. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Your alma mater distracted me so much, I didn't even realize what the time was.
Look at that. I know. How about those Relia Quest Wolverines right now? Can we stop the game right now? Can it be stopped? I couldn't even imagine if Michigan finishes the season with back-to-back wins against Ohio State and Alabama. Turn the machines back on, Bruce. You know?
It's mind-blowing to me in this regard. Alabama is actually one of the few teams in one of these bowl games and not a playoff game where their best players are playing. Jalen Milroe's out there, Tyler Booker's out there, Jihad Campbell. Those are their three best draft prospects. They're playing in the game. Everybody who's really, you know, who the NFL covers from Michigan, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Colston Loveland, they're not playing. Josiah Stewart's not playing. And Michigan has dominated this game. It is, who saw this coming?
Well, we have a half to go, but while I have you here in the few minutes I have with you here, what happened with Cam Ward in his bowl game, Bruce?
He played half of the game and that was it. And then at halftime, you know, my understanding is he basically just, you know, said, hey, Emery Williams, it's, you know, his turn and I'm done. And that was it. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm surprised that there was this kind of uproar on social media about this. Cam Ward actually played in the game. Most of the guys who are in bowl games, who are in the top 50 draft class, you know, prospects, they're not playing. They're opting out. I mean, Ward's three of his, you know, top four receivers opted out of the game. So the fact that he even played at all, much less played a half, surprised me a little bit. And so the fact that he left at halftime and, you know, like, I don't think that was anything to be stunned by or upset by. I mean, there's a lot of guys who didn't play. You know, I just rattled off a bunch of guys who chose not to play in the bowl games at all. I mean, this is a guy who I think a lot of people expect to be a top 10 pick, and he went out and played, you know, for a half of the game. You know, that's, I mean, that's more than Miami fans probably should have expected.
No doubt about it. I can say this, you know, the fact that he played and rather than not does show you something. That's one thing, that he did want to compete for at least a half. But I can guarantee you this is going to be the first question of him in every single grease board conversation at the combine that Cam Ward has. Tell me what happened in the bowl game. And he's going to tell us whatever the story is. Like, hey, do we know what the story is? I wanted to play, and then I decided, you know what? The only plan was to play a half because I just wanted to be out there with the guys. Like, that's what I'm asking, because I do understand your, you know, approach that, hey, half's better than nothing, to just say I'm leaving everybody on the battlefield, if that's the way you want to put it. You know,
my understanding, Rich, was that he had, you know, that he had a discussion with their staff, and that it was going to be somewhere along the lines of I think he knew if I don't play at all, a bunch of other guys are going to opt out. So he ended up playing, and, you know, look, he played really well. He threw three touchdowns in the first half against a good pass defense in Iowa State. I mean, I think it's like a top five pass defense. And then, you know, that was it. I mean, I get the point you're saying about NFL teams are going to ask it. NFL teams ask every question, though. And, you know, I'm sure they had those questions about Christian McCaffrey, who didn't play in a bowl game a long time ago. And now most of the top guys, I went back and looked at this, are Dane Brugler, who does a really good job for The Athletic on the draft. Of his, like, top 50 board, it's like five of the top 16 guys who are not in the playoff have opted out. You know, Will Campbell at LSU, obviously the Michigan guys I mentioned, you know, Caleb Johnson, a really good running back at Iowa. The guys who chose to play were Deion Sanders, you know, two key guys, Shador, his son, and Travis Hunter. I mean, those guys have a connection with Deion that's much stronger than just, hey, a normal player coach. But beyond that, it's really just, you know, it's almost most of those guys are not playing in bowl games.
Bruce Feldman here from Fox Sports and The Athletic. Break down the Fiesta Bowl for me tonight. How do you think this one plays out? Penn State versus Boise State in the quarterfinal game in the Fiesta Bowl.
I think that Ashton Jeanty is going to still, you know, do a lot of damage. He's the best running back in college football. I don't think Penn State's going to totally derail him. I mean, I don't know if he's going to go for over 200 yards. I think he's going to need to go over to probably 250, rushing and receiving at least, for Boise State to be able to win this game. Boise State does not have a really good defense. Their defensive line is pretty good, and they're really aggressive. You'll see a lot of 6- and 7-man pressures. Talking to coaches who played Boise State in the Mountain West, they said Eric Shenander, their defense coordinator, is a blitz maniac, is how they describe him. It's not like Penn State has Ohio State's receivers, but I think we could say Drew Aller doing a lot of damage downfield, because he's going to have opportunities. And he is talented. I mean, we know he's got two big-time running backs, and Tyler Warren's a terrific tight end. Receivers are okay. They're not great. I think they could have a big, big night tonight, though.
And then the triple header on New Year's Day, the marquee, clearly the granddaddy of them all, right here in the Rose Bowl. What is the key, in your estimation, between Ohio State and Oregon?
I really think it comes back to what happens in the trenches of this game. You know, can Oregon's defensive line, which leads the Big Ten in sacks, really get after Will Howard, like Michigan did, quite honestly? I think Michigan's going to be, I mean, I think Ohio State's going to be more aggressive in the pass game than certainly they were, you know, when they played the Wolverines. But I think that's a challenge for them, because their offensive line is the weakest link of a really strong team across the board in Columbus. The flip side of this is going to be, you know, Ohio State's defensive line, which is good. I mean, they have a lot of really good players, two a really experienced defensive ends. They only managed two tackles for loss in the whole game when they lost at Autzen at midseason. You know, no sacks and two tackles for losses. I mean, that was a really rough night. Ohio State's defensive front has to be a lot more disruptive. getting after Dillon Gabriel, or else I think he could. I don't think he's going to pick them apart, and you know, easily. But they are really good. They don't have big receivers, but they have really quick, athletic receivers, and they have good running backs, and they have a good scheme. So you know, Dillon Gabriel's the quarterback that I have the most confidence in of anybody left in this playoff field. He's played in a lot of big games and played well. And like I said, they have good receivers. If Ohio State's defensive line doesn't show up in a big way, Buckeyes are going to struggle again.
Hmm. Is Ryan Day's job on the line? Does the result matter? The manner in which they would play if they do get bounced by the top seed in this tournament?
Right now? I think the only way Ryan Day wouldn't be the coach at Ohio State is if Ryan Day doesn't want to be the coach at Ohio State anymore. I just think that, you know, this is a team. You saw what they did against Tennessee. They blew Tennessee off the field. I mean, it wasn't even close. And he's won a ton of games. I know he has had a Michigan problem, you know, but beyond that, and I think that who are you going to get if you're Ohio State and have you convinced that, oh, yeah, he's going to do better than this guy, what he's done there? I mean, it wouldn't at all surprise me if they ended up beating Oregon by 2 touchdowns, and it wouldn't surprise me if they won a national title. I mean, I think that he has done a really good job there. And I think if you look at the big picture of that, I think it's easier to see through that than it is to all the noise that's come out of that last game that he had against Michigan.
How do you see Notre Dame, Georgia playing out, Bruce?
I think they're really similar, Rich. You know, they're two good defensive teams, don't have great receivers, running quarterbacks now, because now you got Gunnar Stockton in there as opposed to Carson Beck for Georgia. I think what's going to be interesting in this matchup is, can Notre Dame exploit some of the same things that Georgia Tech did late in the year when they almost beat them in like that 8 overtime game at the end of the regular season? What's telling there is Georgia Tech had a really smart game plan. Their offensive coordinator, before he was the offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech, spent 3 years at Georgia. He knew that team inside and out and that system inside and out. His quarterback, Haynes King, is a good running quarterback. Riley Leonard, Notre Dame's quarterback, is a really, really good running quarterback. He is strong. He is tough. He can run. And I think the advantage Notre Dame has that Georgia Tech didn't have is they have Jeremiah Love, who's an explosive running back. He's more talented than anybody Georgia Tech had as the second piece of that quarterback run game. Georgia, like a lot of teams, their kryptonite has been really mobile quarterbacks. And a bunch of guys, you could look even the Kentucky game, as bad as Kentucky is, Brock Vandegrift ran the ball actually really well. I don't 70 rushing yards if you take away all the sack yards against them when they gave Georgia a good game. I do think Notre Dame with Riley Leonard in the run game can take advantage of some stuff. I would not at all be surprised if Notre Dame got its biggest postseason win in like 30 years against Georgia tomorrow.
Wow, you would peg, I mean, Texas beating I guess Arizona State beating Texas would be the upset. You're saying give me the best chance for an upset here. What's the upset?
I don't think Notre Dame beating Georgia is technically, you know, by a point spread it's close, but right. You know, the upset games are, you know, tonight potentially, and certainly Arizona State if they can knock. I mean, those are double digit point spreads. I don't think anybody who looks at Georgia in Notre Dame beating Georgia is like a big upset. I don't think you're paying attention to Georgia. You know, Georgia doesn't have Brock Bowers or Ladd McConkey anymore. They do not have a lot of weapons for a first-time quarterback to play against a good defense. You know, ASU will be interesting. I did a big story on Cam Scataboo. He is one of the more remarkable stories going in college football. I mean, this was a team picked to finish last in the Big 12 in the preseason, and now they got a puncher's chance. I don't know how they're going to slow down Texas. I mean, if you look at the teams who have given the Longhorns problems, it's been Georgia and teams that have, you know, elite front players. Arizona State doesn't have that. I'm sure they'll be really aggressive. I don't know if they can get to Ewers and really disrupt him enough to force him into mistakes. And I'm sure Texas is going to try to gang tackle and do everything they can to slow down Cam Scataboo. But, you know, look, nobody thought Arizona State would have gotten this far. They're playing with a ton of confidence. You hear what both Scataboo and his quarterback have said in the run-up to this game. I mean, they've been doubted a lot most of their lives, and they've proven people wrong every step of the way. Maybe this is the next step of that.
Your best guess, Bruce, in a couple minutes I have left with you, your best guess by the end of this month, January, coming up, Quinn Ewers will be either in A, the portal, or B, getting ready for the scouting combine. Which one?
My guess is he will be in the portal. And that's just a guess. But think he's in a similar situation to Cam Ward and some other guys last year, where I think the NFL doesn't look at him as a top 50 pick. They look at him as, you know, maybe a second, third, fourth round quarterback. Now, maybe in the next couple of games, he will go on a roll. I mean, the concern you hear from scouts and definitely from SEC coaches who respect him and think he's got, you know, good arm talent and think he's a really good college quarterback, it's when he has to ad lib and improvise is when the mistakes really happen. And he has been inconsistent. There's another piece of it, which I know we've talked about on the show, you know, several times, is durability issues. He's not been able to make it through a full season without, you know, missing some games, you know, but like, that's, you know, there's been some other quarterbacks who've had those issues too, but it's been held against them. We know Arch Manning is waiting in the wings. I would be shocked if Arch Manning is not the starting quarterback at Texas in, you know, next year. But for, you know, going forward, the question I think that Quinn Ewers people is going to have to sort out is, if he is a third or fourth round projection, does it make more sense financially as well for him? He could probably get, I know of quarterbacks who have done less than Quinn Ewers have in college, who are getting $1.3, $1.5, $1.7 million. Quinn Ewers could probably, you know, double that, maybe even get to $5 million or so from some other schools. Is that the financial play? I mean, do you sit there and look, okay, you know, nobody thought at this time last year that Cam Ward was going to be a top 50 pick. Now a lot of people I've talked to think he's going to be a top 5 pick. The idea that he got, you know, low 7 figures to go to Miami for a season and then parlayed it into a big draft step up, I think there could be that formula certainly for Quinn Ewers potentially. Again, they're different style quarterbacks with different, you know, one guy was a no-star when he came out of Texas in high school in Cam Ward. The other guy was the fivest of five stars and has played a lot on a big stage. But again, and Quinn Ewers also has Steve Sarkisian, who's as good as there is in terms of as a quarterback guy and as a play caller. So I don't know what the thought process is going to be all the way through. Like I said, for all we know, he could lead Texas to a national title and maybe gets hot in those games and has people feeling like he could be a first rounder. I mean, but if you ask me right now, my hunch is that he may be in the portal for a big price tag.
Yeah, Bruce, there's a report out right now that he's got a $6 million offer from some school.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with some of that. And I don't want to be totally dismissive of it. Like, there's so many reports about, like, a lot of this agent space when it comes to the NIL world and college football is wildly unpredictable and wildly speculative. There are agents trying to set and reset the market. I would take a lot of that stuff with a big grain of salt, you know, because when you talk to people in the middle of it, they're like, yeah, that's not true. You know, again, I don't know if that specific one, I wouldn't be surprised if he could get $4 or $5 million. I don't know about six, and I don't know, you know, again, that, like, who's offering it. And because some of the money stuff that gets thrown out there a little bit, it's also, you know, you hear from some other people who are in the middle of it. They're like, no, the reason why somebody floated that is because they're trying to get that and trying to raise the bar. So I would be cautious on a lot of the dollar figures of, you know, it depends on where it comes from. I mean, the only stuff that I feel confident in, like, even talking about is when I've heard it from some coach who's directly involved in it, not from somebody who's like, you know, it's stuff I learned to take with a grain of salt. And even some of that, I still am, like, kind of suspicious of.
Well, Bruce, I appreciate the time. You're going to Pasadena?
You're going to be there? I am. Yeah. Went to Media Day yesterday. I can't wait for that game. And
nothing like it.
Great.
Nothing like the Rose Bowl on a beautiful day. Hopefully it'll be a Chamber of Commerce day and that setting for a big time college football game like Oregon and the Ohio State. That's what it's all about. Have a great time, Bruce, and Happy New Year to you. We'll see you next year.
Thanks, Rich. Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, right back. Happy New Year, Bruce. That's Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic right there. Bro, I'll tell you this. You know, you always want to get to the NFL and start your contract, get in your first contract, and get as close to your second contract as fast as possible. That's what you want.
Yep.
Certainly, if you're going to be drafted in the second, third, or fourth, or whatever round, you don't have that fifth year that the team can toss on you and say you're still ours, and you get right to your free agency or your window to negotiate a new deal faster. Brock Purdy's in that position right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's the idea. You want to get out and get there. But Quinn Ewers is going to be offered $5 to $6 million, be a starting quarterback as a big man on campus, and then he can, you know, improve his draft position for the following year. You'd have to think hard about that one. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The rest of this show is for all of us. We're out of guests, but we're not out of time. Hour number two, we'll close that up next. You were 29 when this first started. Now you're in your mid-40s. Getting all rocked up like you did.
Yeah.
In this, do we need to test you, Matt? Did you take?
No, I should have. That might have made it easier. There's not, in my experience, there's not. You know, if you're not going to take anything, which I'm not, there's no. It's the same workout that it was when I was 29. It's just, you know, it's just a very strict diet, 2 days in the gym, and it's, you know, there's no. It's just all work. Like there's no, you know,
right.
There's no shortcut.
And then just cut out. What, sugars? Meat?
By the end, it's like,
by
the end, it's just protein and vegetables and no carbs at all and just, you know, 2 workouts a day. And I mean, it was a lot of work.
For how many weeks, months did you have to do that?
Well, I was in shape. I got in shape for The Martian and then for this movie I did in China. And then about 10 weeks out, I kind of ramped up even more. And so it was to try to get under, you know, down below 8 than like 7% body fat. It was more about body fat than like weight.
So when you were done shooting, what was the first meal that you had when you're done shooting?
Oh man, I mean, for me it's Italian food, right? You know, pasta and, you know, bread, pasta, red wine,
chicken like, parm.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my god.
Situation.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's the thing. That's what kills me. My kids love to eat that. So like sometimes when we order out, we'll get this, you know, this chicken parm and this parm and this pink pasta that they like, and it's just like, you know, plating it for them, it's just like, you know, I start shaking.
I'm just wondering if the Boston and you just came out, I think I just heard chicken palm.
I didn't say chicken palm. I didn't say chicken palm.
I thought you just said that.
I did. I said chicken, but I forgot the R.
Hey, I'm the same way, you know, and when I go back to the old school days.
I love chicken palm, Rich.
He said chicken palm. He definitely said chicken palm back in the day. Check out our YouTube channel, everybody. Back here in the Rich Eisen Show. I'm here in Utah. The boys are in Los Angeles.
Hey, hey.
Hour number three coming up. Turzo's on the line. Let's go to Turzo in Iowa. What's up, brother?
All right.
Hey, what's up, Rich? Happy holidays, guys. Hope you guys had a good week off.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, man. Same to you.
What's going on?
By the way, before you start, man, this graphic that Smitch did for you years ago that we put on the screen every single time you call is really one of my favorites. Better call Turzo, dude. I love this thing.
It cracks me up, and everybody that's seen it always comments on it and says how much they like it. So I really do appreciate you guys doing that for me. That's pretty awesome.
What's going on?
So, Rich, I think I'm going to be blunt. I'm pretty happy that this year's ending for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And I think it all really starts back whenever we lost the Super Bowl and lost that lead to the Chiefs, because it really seems to that has been kind of our Achilles heel outside the injuries, is not holding on to those third and fourth quarter leads and allowing teams to come back. And, you know, it happened earlier in the season and it happened again last night. So that's just kind of one of those tough things, and hopefully it's something that we can fix in this off season. But as you said earlier, this off season is going to be wild now, especially in, my fingers are crossed that Purdy's healthy. I don't want to ever see anybody hurt going into the off season.
Well, you know how you wave a red flag in front of a bull, and that gets that bull all riled up, that you're just maybe putting some chum in the water for a shark. Turzo, you mentioning a Kyle Shanahan coached team having trouble holding on to a lead, that's waving a red flag in front of the bull named Chris Brockman. I think you have just set him off. Chris, that's a spinning curve in your zone, right, Christopher?
I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you.
Perturzo, like TJ's mother told him, pick a new team.
Oh, don't do no, please.
Yeah, now, that's
come
that's,
on.
That's never gonna happen. I'll never.
No,
pick
but
a new
the
team.
Reason why TJ's but mother told him too, to choose though. A new team, but the reason why exactly, and you've got a great one. And the minute that Shanahan ever wants to leave, someone else will hire him. He doesn't want to go anywhere in the whole business and whatever.
But lest anyone forget, it's been a longer Super Bowl drought for the 49ers than the Cowboys, but yet all we do is talk about the Cowboys.
Thank you.
I don't disagree with the length of how long it's been. Since I was a little kid, and I've been hoping to get one just so my niece and nephew get to feel that enjoyment as well and continue to be 49er fans and don't jump off the ship. But, Rich, right now I've been listening to everything, and I found this kind of amazing. The people are actually talking that Sam Darnold's worth more than Brock Purdy right now, and I find that to be completely crazy given where we started the season. But I'm proud of Sam for what he's done, man. He deserves to be mentioned.
You're the best, Terzo. Love chatting with you. Happy New Year. We'll chat with you in the New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year, guys.
Be good, man.
There you go.
Be safe.
It's Terzo and Iowa.
You know Carl's is going off tonight.
Oh, Carl's. Yeah,
let's go.
TJ, let's take the PJ to Carl's.
More than the one-man party we heard about. That's what it sounds like. All right. Hour number two in the books. Let's hang out hour three on the other side. You know, man, it's I know, TJ, you'd like talking about it, and I'm sure you appreciate Chris bringing that up, but it's a longer drought for Super Bowls.
Just facts, Rich. That's all.
Yeah, because you won one the year after the Niners won their last one. And you won your last one.
Nobody
you won
cares
your
about
last
that,
one. Man. You won your last one the very last year after the Niners won their last one. Man. And the Niners have been in it. You got to be in it. You'd rather loved than lost than having never loved at all. I mean, that's the phrase.
Look, I'm just saying, man. No one ever says who lost the Super Bowl. Who won the Super Bowl?
Trust me, I would have loved for the Jets to have made the Super Bowl at least once in my lifetime. You know, made it and lost. Honestly, I mean, that's the way it goes. Can't all water ski behind Chris Brockman's yacht. You know what I mean? You just can't do that.
It was really bad for the Patriots for a long time, and it's bad right now.
It's very bad right now. I mean, it's the worst it is in the National Football League right now. It's worse than the Titans. It's worse than the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I disagree.
Well, the Giants are fourth on the clock, pal. We'll talk about that just like,
and who's their quarterback for the next 10 years?
Keep it right where you are.
Okay.
We're about to talk about this in the next segment.
Oh,
draft order, all that stuff. Jerry Jones has spoken on 105.3 The Fan.
Come on.
Talking about Mike McCarthy's future. LeBron says he could play till he's 47, and I would love to see
that. I believe it.
Me too.
Oh, we've already hit the Kyle Shanahan subject. Chris Brockman's favorite, LeBron James, talking about his greatness. That's coming up, hour number three. Don't go anywhere.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.